I'm indeed thankful to be here, and if I ever seem a little bit nervous, it might be because I am. So, had many wonderful thoughts as I was thinking about what to mention, what to say, what to think about, and the beauty of the Bible is that the whole Bible's filled with a lot of good things. But I've kind of settled on a couple of things. So we sang one song, Not Made With Hands. And I looked at a few weeks ago that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's over in the 10th chapter of Corinthians, one of them. Can't remember which one. I'd go look for it and I could find it. But if you think about that the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. And I thought about, in discussing that one of the first things that we often do in a battle that we engage ourselves in life, one of the first things we do is retaliate through our words, through our voice. And I find over in James that the tongue is a small member and it's hard to tame. If my tongue has been tamed, it wasn't tamed by me. It wasn't tamed by anything I thought of or came up with. But I want to look at members in particular is what I really, the thought that I have on my mind. And in that study, it brought me to the 139th Psalm. And I'm going to read it and talk about some of the things that are in it. But as I read along, I hope that you would think about each and every aspect of each little line and think about all the attributes of God and how we are acquainted with God and we are in His likeness. When it talks about He sees us, or whenever it mentions different aspects of Him, we can associate ourselves with God. When it talks about His mind and His vision and His, that's something that. Sometimes we as children and adults forget that we're made in His likeness and we are in particular members of His body, of His likeness and of His and of His bone. But it says here, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know, it shows forth the all-knowing God, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-present, every aspect of God is found in this one particular psalm here, Psalmist David. And whenever you think about David and you think about the weapons of his warfare, they were pretty much carnal. Every time that he had a conflict, he took up a sword, he took up his armament, he took up a slingshot in one case. But in those different things, he was led of the Spirit. But he was carnal in the way he went about things sometimes. And then when you see David in his heart and the things that he's looking at, it reminds me of me whenever I'm looking within. And I don't know if y'all are traveling. I don't know if you're permanent here, that you're a local. I know some of you are. I know you may be traveling and everything. But it doesn't matter. And David reflects that here in a minute. It doesn't matter where we go, but we're in the presence of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You've known me. And David wrote that. You've searched me, and you've known. Not only did you search me, but you've known me. He knows me better than I know me. And he knows you better than you know you. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And that led me over to understandest my thought afar off. I thought of Proverbs the 16th chapter there, where it says that he's and I'm a reader, so the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue, those thoughts that we have that are about God, they didn't come from this flesh. They came from a spirit that is within. And David understands that. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me before and behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And I thought about Job, where that when the devil and God are talking, and the devil, he says, "You put a hedge around him. I can't even touch him. You've put a hedge around him." And David is saying similar words here. For there is, or thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. I don't understand why I'm protected through life. Even in my misery sometimes, whenever I have different ailments or different problems in life, I don't know why I found joy in understanding that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, because there have been experiences in my life that God's already moved me through those things. And I know from past experiences that it's going to be okay. And David knows this, and he's writing this. And I think partly it was for his own peace of mind that he's penning these words down, giving comfort to his own mind. And write down your thoughts sometimes. If you ever have a thought about God, write it down. Think about it. And then go search out why you've thought about those things. You might find that somebody else has already written about it. If you're in pain, maybe there's something here that you can reflect on that will give you help about those things. You're suffering, you've lost loved ones, perhaps you yourself are dying. There's a lot of things in here that I've found that have comforted me throughout my life with the thoughts that have been penned by David and by Solomon and by Job and by different writers that are in this Bible. It'd take me too long to mention all the different writers that I enjoy reading. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And again, where can we go? What place can we not find God? And he reflects on that. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And Brother Don reflected on this a few weeks ago about heaven and hell and the different heavens and the different hells. And I was totally in agreement with him and thought how wonderful it was that he explained that. It's the hell that we find ourselves in at times in this life and the heaven that we find ourselves in times. Behold, thou art there. If I'm on the mountaintop, he's there. If I'm in the valley, he's there. No matter where I'm at, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. And that to me, and it may mean something to someone else, but that to me means if I get in my car, or if I get on a boat, or if I get on a train, if I take the sail of the morning and I go somewhere, God's with me everywhere I go. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God doesn't have a shadow. He is light. He is the light. There's nothing shining on God. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that a beautiful thought of when we look at our children and they're born and we look at them for the very first time? What a beautiful creation that God has made. This beautiful child, or even our grandchildren, or even a neighbor's child. Some of those things are pretty overwhelming to me. I don't know about you, but... For thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, we know that God has eyes, and he sees. That's what I was talking about with the attributes of God. This psalm brings them out. He has thoughts about me. He searches my heart. He knows me. He has eyes. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Before I was born, God knew me. Before any of the members that I have, and whenever we look at members, we look at all the members that we have. We have our hands, we have our feet, we have our mind, we have our arms, our legs, all of the members of our body. And he saw that. And not only did he see those members, but he wrote those members in a book. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God, depart from me. Therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieve with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the path that we take in life, day by day, David is asking his God, our God, to lead him in the path of life. The thing here in the 16th verse, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, even though he saw me, and in Romans he reached a conclusion that all are sinners, and that conclusion, he concluded that all mankind were sinners, and here David, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He not only saw our imperfection, our unperfectness, he wrote them in a book, which means he was going to take care of it. He wrote them in that book knowing that he would perfect that which was unperfect. Now, I've thought about members, and when you look at members, you get into the book of Corinthians, which is a book of correction, and in the twelfth chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. There's members that are a little bit unruly, off the beaten path. And the Apostle Paul's going to show them a better way. I'll begin reading here in the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And that's what finding my place in the body sometimes is sometimes a hard thing to establish, and not only establish but be comfortable with in my mind. Like Jeremiah I'm but a babe and you want me to speak, or any of the other ones. And speaking, being called on to speak, is that truly what I need to be doing? Perhaps not. We're not all hands. We're not all feet. We're not all eyes. We're not all voices. But we all are members of the one body. And if they were all of one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I see the care that you have here, and I would ask you, don't let that slip up. Don't let that fail, because you're having a little a schism, as it refers to there, with the member of the body. If you're having difficulty with the member of the body, I would plead to you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Go to that brother, go to that sister, go to that child, go to whoever, and talk to them. And take a Bible along. It'll probably help you in a lot of different ways, and you can probably come to a lot of better conclusions if you just go to God's Word in everything that you do and everything that you say to one another. Think before you speak. That's what my mother told me. I didn't listen to her all the time, but that's what she told me. And I don't think before I speak a lot of times now. So we can all, I think, relate to all of that. But as members of that one body, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And you know that the best gift that is suited for you, the best gift that is suited for me. And sometimes when I've been at a party or like Christmas time and everybody's getting different gifts, I kind of want that gift that they gave to brother or sister or whatever, and I want to play with that gift. Well, that gift may not be yours to play with, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And I'm going to leave it right there, but covet earnestly the best gifts. I think the members of the body are necessary, and we need to think about all the different aspects of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He's blessed us with. Thank you very much.